I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Good morning and welcome to Black Book Talk. This is Patricia Welch, the library lady. And joining me soon from a remote location will be Emma Jackson Ford and O.B. Hill. But at the moment, I'm the only one in the studio, so it's just you and me right now. This is National Poetry Month, and that's what we're dedicating this program to. We opened with the poem, The Negro Speaks of the River. It was read by the poet Langston Hughes. It is a part of a CD set, a five-disc CD set called The African American Audio Experience, and I love this set. I love the CD because it's so rare when we get to hear the author's voice. And, you know, for most of us, Langston Hughes is a name on a page and we admire him, but to actually hear him read is a wonderful thing. In addition to Langston Hughes on this set, we have Nikki Giovanni, Gwendolyn Brooks, and a number of other poets. So, you know, if you're interested in hearing African American poets reading their works, you certainly want to come to the library or to a bookstore and borrow this. The next thing that I want to share, and most of mine today are just going to, they're going to be recordings. There is an author called named Walter Dean Myers. He's known to most of us as a juvenile and young adult author, award-winning, nationally, probably internationally known. But he has produced a book called Here in Harlem. And when you look at it, it's just a regular bound book. But then when you open it, there are two CDs. So I want to play something from the two-disc set. And to kind of set this up, Myers said that the reason why he wrote this, or what influenced him, was that early on he had read the book, The Spoon River Anthology, Edgar Lee Masters' book of poems, The Spoon River Anthology. And basically this is a fictional town, and the whole book is about this town. And so Myers said, well, he tried to imagine a place like that, and he decided that the place that he would make as his really not fictional town, but the setting for his work would be Harlem, because that's where he was raised. There are a number of people, from retirees to high school students to boxers to postal workers, all the people that he knew when he grew up. And there are two who are very interesting to me. One is Sam Dupree. He's 28 and he's a hustler. And, you know, everybody, if they're lucky, has gotten to know one Sam Dupree. You might want to keep a little distance from him if you're a woman and vulnerable. But I wanted to play Sam Dupree, Hustler, from Here in Harlem by Walter Dean Myers.
Sam Dupree, 28, hustler. Sweet Sam Dupree. Some people break, some people bend. Some just fade away. Others go looking for a friend with a shoulder they can cry on, or a few dollars they can rely on. They go low ride gliding, or ducking, or hiding. Spend all day looking down at their feet, 'cause they half out the kitchen and still can't stand the heat. Not me. I'm a rustler and a bustler and a stone-cold hustler. I sweet-talk Fort Knox till they let me in. I kinda shock right out of his fin. I'm sweet Sam Dupree, and all the women love me. I drive a ragtop lavender hog. Money follows me around like a three-legged dog sniffing down a pork chop. And it ain't never gonna stop. This here corner's my domain. I'm gonna be here if it just don't rain. 125 and Lenox Avenue. When the sun comes up, sweet Sam is due. I never break, and I don't hardly bend. I got so much money, I can buy a friend. I don't slip, and I don't slide. If I ain't getting over, it must mean I died. I'm sweet Sam Dupree, and all the women love me.
Now, a little later on in the program, I'm going to play another poem by a young lady who could be tempted by Sam Dupree, but we'll see what her options and directions are. I believe that Emma is with us.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I am good. How about you all?
Okay, we can hear you loud and clear.
I turned the volume all the way up as opposed to I usually have it on mute.
Okay.
The students are still here in the classroom, but they were loving that poem, and I wanted them to hear it.
Great. I think they're going to like the next one, too. But I'm going to turn this back to you.
Well, actually, no, I'm going to go third.
Oh, well, you know something? OB has not joined us yet, but, you know, we can certainly go to my next poem if you'd like.
Let's do that.
Okay, fine. This is great, because really, originally I had planned to play these two together. Okay, our next poem is by Miss Lydia. It's about Miss Lydia Cruz. She's 15 years old. She's a student. And this, again, is from Here in Harlem by Walter Dean Myers.
Lydia Cruz, 15, student. I know I shouldn't do anything in haste, and how my youth is a terrible thing to waste. And I know that young boys only want one thing, no matter what sanctified song they sing. But Mama, see how he's looking at me? With his eyes crawling into places they shouldn't be, and him styling and showing off those pretty teeth, like he's really not bone rotten underneath. That curly hair and sneaky grin. And is that a dimple in that boy's chin? I know my mind is set on educational goals, uplifting my people and joining the roles of women with more than fun on their minds, and leaving dangerous boys like him behind. I know he's risky, with that big, broad shoulder slanting towards me like he wants to get bolder. He can't change a thing but what I want to be. But, oh, Mama, see how that boy is looking at me? I might listen to what he has to say, just so I can look back one day and see all the traps your daughter missed and all the foolish young men I could have kissed if I was some kind of hussy child who every time she saw a boy just ran wild and didn't know her great destiny. But, oh, Mama, see how he's looking at me?
That was sweet, Lydia Cruz, 15 years old. And, you know, we've all at some point, and maybe even a little later than 15 years old, been tempted by somebody with a pretty smile, a kind of Sam Dupree. I think Lydia will be okay. But she's another one of the people who Walter Dean Myers says that he met in his journey through life in Harlem. Okay, Emma, back to you. Okay, I'm not hearing anything, so I'm going to go.
I'm right here. I had
it. Oh. Okay.
Oh, every month on the third Wednesday, we come to school 2 hours late because we're doing something called Courageous Conversations. Our kids come 2 hours late, but the teachers report at 8 o'clock, and we discuss race. And this was our lead-in last time. It was read by our kindergarten teacher, and it's a poem by Runette Nia Ebo. Lord, Lord, why did you make me black? Why did you make me someone the world would want to hold back? Black is the color of dirty clothes, the color of grimy hands and feet. Black is the color of darkness, the color of tired, beaten streets. Why did you give me thick lips, a broad nose, and kinky hair? Why did you make me someone who receives the hatred stare? Black is the color of a bruised eye when somebody gets hurt. Black is the color of darkness. Black is the color of dirt. How come my bone structure's so thick? My hips and cheeks are high. How come my eyes are brown and not the color of daylight sky? Why do people think I'm useless? How come I feel so used? Why do people see my skin and think I should be abused? Lord, I just don't understand. What is it about my skin? Why do some people want to hate me and not know the person within? Black is what people are listed when others want to keep them away. Black is the color of shadows cast. Black is the end of the day. Lord, you know my own people mistreat me, and I know this just isn't right. They don't like my hair or the way I look. They say I'm too dark or too light. Lord, don't you think it's time for you to make a change? Why don't you redo creation and make everyone the same? God answered, why did I make you black? Why did I make you black? Get off your knees and look around. Tell me, what do you see? I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. I made you the color of coal from which beautiful diamonds are formed. I made you the color of oil, the black gold that keeps people warm. I made you from rich, dark earth that can grow the food you need. Your color's the same as the panthers, known for beauty and speed. Your color's the same as the black stallion, a majestic animal is he. I didn't make you in the image of darkness. I made you in the likeness of me. All the colors of a heavenly rainbow can be found throughout every nation. And when all those colors were blended well, you became my greatest creation. Your hair is the texture of lamb's wool. Such a humble little creature is he. I am the shepherd who watches them. I am the one who will watch over thee. You are the color of midnight sky. I put the stars' glitters in your eyes. There's a smile hidden behind your pain. That's the reason your cheeks are high. You are the color of dark clouds formed when I send my strongest weather. I made your lips full, so when you kiss your love, they will remember. Your stature is strong, your bone structure thick to withstand the burdens of time. The reflection you see in the mirror, the image looking back at you, is mine. And that's a poem by Runette Nia Ebo.
Ooh, that is wonderful. And poetry has a way of presenting things so that you can, if you can't hear it when it's said to you directly, you can certainly hear it that way. What was the response to that?
Tears.
Good. Okay. Now, Obi has joined us, and he is paging through, and we're going to give him a moment to be settled. Emma, did you have a second one or that you'd like to share now?
I'm lining up students to go to lunch, so
I tell you what.
1 second.
Well, then I'm going to talk. I'm going to share a book that is new to me. Just came to my attention. It's called Perfect Harmony, A Musical Journey with the Boys Choir of Harlem, Poems and Photographs by Charles R. Smith, Jr. And those of you who are not familiar with the Boys Choir of Harlem, it's just it's exactly what it sounds like. They're a group of youngsters from Harlem who at this point have traveled around the world singing beautifully and just carrying their message through song. I'm going to do the first poem in here. It's called Focus, and it's about preparing to perform. Focus. Feet apart, arms at sides, chest puffed out, head held high, waiting to release butterflies inside. Eyes focused like the calm before the storm, ready to erupt before I perform. Toes tingle, feet quake, muscles twitch, hands shake, while throat hums, so that my voice may awake. Focus, I must focus to channel my electricity and relax, relax, relax before I set the butterflies free. And what I love about this book is that each poem is accompanied by a photograph of the group, whether it's practicing at a blackboard, scoring a song. They have haikus. Oh, there's a great one of the conductor, arms up. Oh, all this wonderful, wonderful energy. So again, I just recommend for those who are interested, Perfect Harmony, A Musical Journey for the Boys Choir of Harlem, Poems and Photographs by Charles R. Smith. And it's appropriate for a young audience. So if you have anyone from elementary school through middle school, and quite frankly, I'm enjoying this so far, who is interested in singing and seeing others who do so, this is a great book. OB, welcome.
Hello, how's it going?
Pretty good. Good poetry so far.
Well, I got a couple of poems here. One by Mary B. Morrison, and this book she wrote in 2000. This one is entitled If. Sometimes I wish I were a fish deep down under the sea. If a fish could make a wish, I think it would wish to be me. I'd close my eyes and toss my quarter into the wishing well. I'd watch the splash of the water, and my wish I would start to tell. I'd rather be a fish swimming around, unrestfully exploring my surroundings. I need no money to get from town to town. People without money are slowly drowning. My food I would find, but not on a shelf. No brainwashing of the mind. I can educate myself. Now the fish in turn wants to know what life is like for me. Curious and desirous to learn. So it comes from under the sea. America, America, I don't think I'd like this nation. No, I do not like this place. What this nonsense is about, discrimination based on national origin, sex, and race. I'm going where I am free, as all creatures and people should be. I know you wish you were me. I'm going back under the sea. Sometimes I wish I were a fish deep down under the sea. If a fish could make a wish, do you think it would wish to be me? Mary B. Morrison.
No more for her novels, but this is good.
You know, another thing, I was looking through my old books and I came up with a Jet publication of 1984, April 16th. And on the cover, it says, Marvin Gaye, His Tragic Death and Troubled Life. This goes back to April the 1st of that year when he was tragically killed by his own father. And I was just looking through this book, and of all the people who used to sing back in those days of Motown and I can't find anyone else who sang more poetic lyrics than he did. And just the listing of that those songs is amazing. So I just wanted to make sure that we recognize the poetry and the music of Marvin Gaye today.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Emma, are you still with us? I think we've lost our third member for a moment. OB, you can go forward.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
But he can go on.
Okay.
Well, listen, that was another book, A Song Out of Harlem. It's poems by Anstar S.K. Mbiri. And this book, wow, goes back to 1984. And this book was given to me, and in there is a poem called Rivers. And it sort of reminded me somewhat of Langston Hughes' themes on river. Mm. Here he goes now. There are rivers in a city such as ours, waterless, primordial rivers, muddier than the Mississippi, rivers more destitute and uncertain than the mangy Hudson or Harlem rivers, with mouths that leak night and day, winter and spring, summer and autumn, have their rivers too in a city such as ours, aged and young rivers that never feel their muscles carrying the city. With sweltering mouths of tar, cracked cement, and chipped dreams, rivers decked with trash, day and night, rivers in spring, summer and autumn, always drive rivers, primordial, furtive rivers. Funky, blues-filled rivers, rivers of the city, rivers of certainty, with song mouth of dreams and desire. In a city such as ours, there lurk the oppressed like me, walked in, sunk out in sight, fighting upward day and night, winter and spring, summer and autumn. Through the veins of my people, our labor struggles and rise up with the sun, testing the needle of their muscles. There flows rivers of din and dignity, rivers of the city, rivers I drink from day and night, winter and spring, summer and autumn.
And what's the name of that book?
A Song Out of Harlem by Antar S.K. Mbiri.
And it looks like it's an old book. There's so yes. much good poetry, especially the poetry that came out of the 70s. I mean, that looks like it's from that time. Okay, my last audio selection would be from The African-American Audio Experience. And this one is called All Eyes on Tupac, and it's written by Nikki Giovanni, and she does a wonderful introduction to this in which she says she didn't know Tupac. You know, she wasn't going to, everybody knew Tupac after he died. She didn't know him. She was aware of his work. She thought he was a beautiful young man who was filled with love, despite what others may say. She is the mother of a son. She could identify with his mother. And it was just a lovely, lovely introduction. And now I want to share this because I think it's still relevant many years after his death. All Eyes on You for Tupac by Nikki Giovanni.
All Eyes on You for Tupac Shakur. As I tossed and turned, unable to achieve sleep, unable to control anxiety, unable to comprehend why, Tupac is not with us. If those who lived by the sword died by the sword, there would be no white men on earth. If those who lived on hatred died on hatred, there would be no KKK. If those who lived by lies died by lies, there would be nobody on Wall Street, in executive suites, in academic offices instructing the young. Don't tell me he got what he deserved. He deserved a chariot and the accolades of a grateful people. He deserved his life. It was as clear as a mountain stream, as defining as a lightning strike, as terrifying as the sun to vampires. Tupac told the truth. There were those who called it dirty, gangster rap, inciting. There were those who never wanted to be angry at the conditions, but angry at the messenger who reported, "Your kitchen has roaches, your toilet is overflowing, your basement has so much water, the rats are in the living room, your house is in disorder," and Tupac told you about it. What a beautiful boy. Graceful carriage, melodic voice, sharp wit, intellectual breath. What a beautiful boy to lose. Not me, never me. I do not believe East Coast, West Coast. I saw them murder Emmett Till. I saw them murder Malcolm X. I saw them murder Martin Luther King. I witnessed them shooting Rap Brown. I saw them beat Leroy Jones. I saw them fill their jails. I see them burning churches. Not me, never me. I do not believe this is some sort of mouth action. This is some sort of political action. And they picked well. They picked the brightest, freshest fruit from the tallest tree. What a beautiful boy. But he will not go away, as Malcolm did not go away, as Emmett Till did not go away. Your shooting him will not take him from us. His spirit will fill our hearts. His courage will strengthen us for the challenge. His truth will strengthen our backbones, you know. Socrates had a mother. She, too, watched her son drink hemlock. She, too, asked why. But Socrates stood firm and would not lie to save himself. Tupac has a mother. The lovely Afeni has to bury her son. It is not right. It is not right that this young warrior is cut down. It is not right for the old to bury the young. It is not right. This generation mourns Tupac, as my generation mourned Till, as we all mourn Malcolm, this wonderful young warrior. Sonia Sanchez said when she learned of his passing, she walked all day, walking the beautiful warrior home to our ancestors. I just cried, as all mothers cry, for the beautiful boy who said he and Mike Tyson would never be allowed to be free at the same time, who told the truth about them, and who told the truth about us, who is our beautiful warrior. There are those who wanted to make him the problem, who wanted to believe if they silenced Tupac, all would be quiet on the ghetto front. There are those who testified that the problem wasn't the conditions, but the people talking about them. They took away band, so the boys started scratching. They took away gym, so the boys started breakdancing. The boys started rapping because they gave them the guns and the drugs, but not the schools and libraries. What a beautiful boy to lose. And we mourn Tupac Shakur, and we reach out to his mother, and we hug ourselves in sadness and in shame, and we are compelled to ask, are you happy, Miss Tucker? Tupac is gone. Are you happy?
That was Nikki Giovanni reading her poem, All Eyes on You, for Tupac Shakur. The Miss Tucker that she refers to at the end of that poem is Dolores Tucker, a woman, African-American woman, who launched a campaign against rap music and was widely promoted in all kinds of media, broadcast, print, whatever, and just condemned the rappers. And so that's who Nikki Giovanni was saying, are you happy? I'm sure she wasn't. I'm sure that was not her intent.
I have one thing to read before we end.
Okay.
Yesterday was Maya Angelou's birthday. She was born April 4th, 1928. And I was looking for one of her poems that wouldn't be common, and I found one, Ain't That Bad. Dancing the funky chicken, eating ribs and tips, digging all the latest sounds, and drinking gin and sips. Putting down that do-rag, tighten up your fro, wrapping up in blackness, don't I shine and glow? Hearing Stevie Wonder cooking beans and rice, going to the opera, checking out Leontine Price. Get down, Jesse Jackson. Dance on, Alvin Ailey. Talk, Miss Barbara Jordan. Groove, Miss Pearly Bailey. Now, ain't they bad? And ain't they black? And ain't they black? And ain't they bad? And ain't they bad? And ain't they black? And ain't they fine? Black like the hour of the night when your love turns and wiggles close to your side. Black as the earth, which has given birth to nations, and when all else is gone, will abide. Bad as the storm that leaps, ranging from the heavens. Black, the welcome rain. That was incorrect. Bringing the welcome rain. Bad as the sun, burning orange, hot at midday, lifting the waters again. Arthur Ashe on the tennis court, Muhammad Ali in the ring, Andre Watts and Andrew Young, black men doing their thing, dressing in purples and pinks and greens, exotic as rum and cokes, living our lives with flashing style. Ain't we colored folks? Now, ain't we bad, and ain't we black, and ain't we black, and ain't we bad, and ain't we bad, and ain't we black, and ain't we fine?
Wow. What yes. else can you say yes. after a poem like that? From Just Us, Just We. I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. You did it again. When times were tough, you really dug in and scratched and pulled and tugged and fought and learned the things you should and ought to learn the most and become your best, the very best that you can be. Continue to strive for victory. Always reach beyond the stars. Congratulations on making the honor roll. I love you unconditionally forever, forever, my love.
And that's Black Book Talk for April. Hope you'll join us again in May. This is Patricia Welch, the Library Lady.
Ovi Hill, Reflections, Very Rich Books.
Enjoy some poetry this month, Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman.